The Firehouse Follies are made possible by Fiddlin' Joe Enterprises with minor assistance from WFHB Community Radio.
This is WFHB Ace News reporter Fawn Sanity reporting live from the site of a press conference called by the Bureau of Alternative Realities and Facts right here in Washington, Indiana. We have not been told what the topic of this press conference is, and we're waiting for BARF spokesperson Sean Sanity, my twin brother, to take the podium. Wait. Someone is stepping out of the FEMA trailer they use for these on-the-road conferences right now and making his way to the podium. But it's not Sean. It's a woman! I'll just get this tall guy in front of me out of the way. Hey, move it, buddy! No! Well, take that! I always carry a baseball bat to press conferences. It's one of those tricks of the trade you need to know to be an ace reporter. Okay, I got a clear view now. Well, I'll be dipped. That's my younger sister, Ingrid. In! Hey, In! Sanity! Are you running the show today? Where's Sean?
Chill out, sis. Like, yeah, I'm running it. Sean told me you'd be here. He's on temporary duty in Syria. They're using him to guide in airstrikes.
But isn't that dangerous?
Well, you know Sean, he's really good at dodging bullets.
I thought you were living in a hippie commune in Florida, selling beads on the beach.
Oh, that's such Obama-era behavior. Once Trump got elected, I knew I needed to appeal to a whole different demographic. So I moved to Washington and signed on at BARF as Sean's understudy.
So what's this press conference all about?
I'm here to introduce the Vice President of the United States. Mike, what was his last name again?
Pence. Pence, dummy.
That is a common mistake, but you're wrong. His first name is Mike. Ladies and gentlemen of the press and other enemies of the state, please welcome Vice President Mike Dummy. Oh, wait, sorry. Mike Pence. He has an important announcement for you.
very, very bad people of the press. It is well that you obeyed our summons to be here today. It is my duty to tell you that the United States no longer recognizes the existence of the state formerly known as Russia. Oh. So there, you can't collude with a non-existent state, you see.
Mr. Vice President.
What's that? All right, well, never mind. We still recognize the Ruskies. This press conference is about something else. The White House has decided on an annexation policy for the People's Republic of Bloomington.
You mean the American annex, that property he was after?
Oh, no, not that, no. The city already has too many residents. In fact, we're thinking of breaking it up into four different quadrants, all in different congressional districts.
Mr. Vice President?
Well, guess we already did that. Yeah. I guess this is about something different.
So what is it?
The White House has decided, after considerable thought, to annex the property at 108 West 4th Street in Bloomington, Indiana.
But that's WFHB!
Yep. I understand it to be an insignificant community radio station. You may not know this, but the president discovered that the Vatican is a separate nation inside a city. So he decided that since he's so much like the Pope, he would declare the White House a sovereign government to be named Trump Tower Annex. And this Bloomington property will be the Blooming Trump Annex of the Annex.
But you can't just...
We can too. We sure can. We claim the authority of Iceberg Romaine.
What's that supposed to mean?
Well, everybody knows that. It means in. Help me out here.
Mr. Vice, it means...
Oh, yeah, that's it. I remember now. It means... Live from the Ivy Tech Waldron Weikart Langeiler Weikart Auditorium in the heart of the People's Republic of Bloomington, it's the Firehouse Follies!
Good afternoon and welcome to The Graduates, the Firehouse Follies 2017 Radio Variety Show Extravaganza, coming to you live from the Ivy Tech Waldron Withered Kadish Fickle Weikart Auditorium in beautiful Bloomington, Indiana. We're pleased to be joined by the fantastic singer and songwriter Michael P. Smith, along with the WFHB Gospel Girls, the hard-working Firehouse Rounders, and our own Dan Withered. And of course, we'll be featuring the Unusual Suspects radio acting troupe with Master Tony Brewer on sound effects. Today's show is made possible by Ivy Tech Community College, One World Enterprises, and Nick's English Hut, a Bloomington and Indiana U tradition for 90 years. Opening a second location on IU's campus this August, and coming soon, Nick's Osteria, for a casual Italian fare located in the alley next to Nick's English Hut. This show is dedicated to area graduates, so the Gospel Girls and the Rounders will kick it off with a bit of friendly advice to them.
Buzzer took a monkey for the ride in the air. The monkey thought that everything was on the square. The buzzer tried to throw the monkey off his back, but the monkey grabbed his neck and said, "Now listen, Jack.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. Ain't no use in jiving. What's the use of jiving? Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. The buzzer told the monkey, "You were choking me. Release your hold and I will set you free." The monkey looked the buzzard right dead in the eye and said, "Your story's so touching, it sounds just like a lie. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. Bloody-bleedoo, bloody-bleedoo, ba-da, ba-da-ba-ba-ba, ba-da."
Choking me,
release your hold and I will set you free.
The monkey looked the buzzard right dead in the eye. "Your story's so touching, it sounds just like a lie.
Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top. Straighten up and fly right. Straighten up and stay right. Straighten up and fly right. Cool down, Papa, don't you blow your top."
The Gospel Girls and the Firehouse Rounders, ladies and gentlemen. Well, this year's graduates have a lot to be proud of, but kids, a word of warning. If you don't work hard, you could wind up in the same dunce corner that's housed the hosts of this show for so many years. Here are two guys you don't want to be like, Richard Fish and Colonel Mike Kelsey.
Well, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. And thanks a lot, Dan. I hope you don't notice all the worms in the apple we gave you before the show.
I think I'll go fishing.
Richard, just give me a minute to pull myself together here. Whenever anyone mentions graduation or school or things like that, I always get all choked up thinking about when I was in the fifth grade.
Oh, so the fifth grade was good to you then?
Best 3 years of my life, Richard. And you know, my life wasn't all that great back before I got this high-paying radio job. Things were tough then.
Well, that was back before radio, wasn't it, Mike?
I'm not kidding. We were poor.
Okay.
How poor were you?
We were so poor that our father used to take us to that fried chicken place so we could lick other people's fingers.
Oh, that sounds like tough times, all right. But going back to the future, what do we have to look forward to in today's show? Now, apart from not having to listen to any more of your jokes, that is.
Glad you asked. I'm very delighted to welcome back songwriter Michael Peter Smith to the show.
Yeah.
He's one of the best there is, and wait till you hear him do Boris.
Oh, yes. And he's going to be in one of our skits. Yes, he's... Well, that's nice to hear. But, Colonel, what's this bit about now, graduates?
Well, we are pleased to be dedicating this show to Isabella Lucia Bauco, who graduated this year from Bloomington South, and to all her fellow graduates.
Hi, Bella!
I hope she's listening. Bella, we've spent a lot of money to get those people to come in here and say that. She was a big fan of this show before she got old enough to realize how silly it is.
Well, I hope we have something more sensible to tell all these graduates.
We do. And the Gospel Girls will set the tone here. Kids, listen to this song and take heed.
Well, you know the reason why everybody's pleasing the one who's been freezing him out. The times are unsteady and nobody's ready to sleep in a bed full of doubt. But if you want to fool around and run around all over town, there's no telling where it will end. The teachers say you gotta stay in school just another day to study the logical trends. So cut your hair and never stare at people who ain't aware that every morning they wake up dead. Take off your boots and find your roots and join the ranks of the young recruits who have a collectivized head. And you've been harassing the ones who's been passing you by. The right time for grooving is always improving, provided you learn to comply. Society is never geared to people who grow a beard or little girls with holes in their ears. They're liable to hunt you down and dress you in a wedding gown and offer substantial careers. They'll buy you a suit of clothes and pay to get another nose so no one will turn you away. You'll wear a tie and hope to die if any more you try to buy from people with nothing to say. So find a loose alternative if that's the way you want to live and give up unusual friends. There's still time to straighten out and learn how to beat about and make your great plans of amends. So cut your hair and never stare at people who ain't aware that every morning they'll wake up dead.
Take off your boots and find your roots and join the ranks of the young recruits who have a collectivized head.
Thank you.
This is the story of identical cousins. Their names have not been changed because they never existed in the first place. Without the final scene from a movie popular some 50 years ago, oh, 50 years, there would be no cousins, and there would be no story, and our own writers would have had to think of something original, which we don't encourage. So thank the heavens for old movies. The one we're speaking of ended like this. Enough history. Let's get on with the show. Cousin number one, Norman Normal, has just graduated from a large nameless university located in the Midwest. You would know the name of the school if we told you, but the university in question has filed a restraining order, so we can't share that information. We join Norman and his girlfriend Elaine on this unnamed campus near the post-Nobel gates.
Somebody you have to meet him, and you see him every day. His face will look familiar, but in a most unusual way. He's Norman
Normal.
I said he's Norman
Normal.
He's Norman
Normal.
He looks a lot like you. Every party Norman goes to, you've been there before. Got some funny things he might have said that he forgets when they close the door. He's Norman
Normal.
I said he's Norman
Normal.
You know he's Norman
Normal.
He looks a lot like you. He's a well-respected man. He's had his problems, but he's left them behind. The only thing he can't handle are the hang-ups on his mind. He's Normal,
Normal.
He's Norman,
Normal.
Said he's Norman,
Normal.
He looks a lot like me.
Finally finished school. Have you decided what you're going to do now?
Yes, Elaine. Mm-hmm. I want to be involved in the manufacturing of widgets. My true passion in life. I need a steady job so I can get married and get a house in the suburbs and let my wife raise a family.
Widgets? I thought it was fidget spinners. No. But that sounds wonderful, dear.
Do you think so, Elaine? Really?
Yes, why, of course I do.
Good.
All any decent girl wants is to marry a wonderful provider, live in the suburbs, and have martinis at 5, and find a lover.
Then, Elaine, would you share it with me?
Everything but the lover. Are you asking me to marry you?
I am. It might take a while, since all U.S. widgets are now made abroad, but I want you to be the mother of my children.
Oh, Norman, you're so sweet. Of course I'll marry you. It's almost midnight. We're already at the well house, so kiss me on the chimes.
On the chimes?
On the chimes.
Oh, okay, if you'll kiss me on the...
Oh. those widgets in your pocket? Or do you really like kissing me?
A couple of days later, Norman and Elaine met some friends at a popular local hangout called Rick's to celebrate their graduations.
Hey, Norm!
Norman, look! There's a guy who looks just like you. Do you see him over there?
Oh, him? That's my cousin, Ben. People say we're identical cousins, but I don't think he looks like me at all.
What's he doing here?
Well, he was raised around here. Our families don't get along.
Well, I think he looks just like you, and I want to meet him.
He's a bit strange. He's a nonconformist.
Oh, I don't care what religion he is.
Okay, well, hey, Ben, come over here for a minute.
Norman, how you doing? I guess you graduated, huh?
Yeah, sure. Guess you didn't, huh?
Well, not quite. I've seen the best minds of my generation, and I'm not eager to become a full-time automated member of the productive society. There are too many things to do. Hey, this is my girlfriend.
Hey, I'm Bobby. Bobby McGee.
Oh. Hi, Bobby. This is my girlfriend, Elaine.
Hi. Norman's going to make widgets, and I'll make babies. Are you guys planning a wedding, too?
Nah, we're just friends with benefits.
I see. Hey, Bobby, don't you think these two guys look exactly alike?
Now that you mention it, yeah, they do.
We do not.
We're not alike at all. He's a slave to society, and I'm a wild and free-spirited nonconformist.
Nah, I think you mean that I'm a respectable citizen, and you're just a bum.
Now, boys...
It all started with our grandfather.
That's right. Grandpa Ben invaded a church and ran off with Grandma Elaine, even though she had just been married to someone else. It was a major scandal. Our family never recovered from it. Ben's dad wound up in a hippie commune here in the People's Republic, and mine went into plastics and made a lot of money.
It wasn't like that at all.
What?
Grandpa Ben was a rebel and a dreamer. And he kept Grandma from making a huge mistake. It was one of the most noble things I've ever heard of. I'm proud to be named after him.
That's all ancient history, fellas. We've got the whole summer ahead of us. I say we go skinny dipping at the quarries and ride in the big bike race. Or we could play basketball and win the championship. You know, things Hoosiers do.
Riding bikes is good exercise. Norman won't have much time because he has to look for a job so we can get married and start our family.
And so the summer progresses with bike riding, swimming, basketball, and some partying.
Five, y'all. Yeah.
And job hunting.
Don't call us, we'll call you.
Then Norman appeared with the news.
Hey, everyone. I've got great news.
What could be greater than a summer day doing nothing?
It's our president. He's done it.
Done what?
He moved to Russia?
No. You remember he pledged to bring jobs back to America?
Yeah, so what does that have to do with us?
Widgets.
Fidgets? What are you talking about, Norman?
No. Widgets. Now, listen.
The very, very nice folks at Gigantic Corp Conglomerated have agreed to bring all 542 of their jobs in fidget manufacturing back to the United States in return for an undisclosed amount of tax incentives and the green light to send 732 jobs in other fields to third world countries. I promise to restore American jobs, and I have done it. This will have a huge impact on American workers, and it's all because of my...
So what does that have to do with us?
Don't you see? I wrote my graduation thesis on how to make better widgets better. I'm one of the leading authorities on widget making. Gigantic Corp has just offered me a job in the six figures to run their new widget manufacturing facility.
Does that mean we can get married, Norman?
Yes, and move to the suburbs and start our family. Our future is secure.
I have no idea what a widget is, but it's totally cool that you're so happy.
Well, I've got to go check out the widget manufacturing site, Elaine. I'll meet you this evening so we can talk about starting our family.
Oh, Norman, maybe we could practice some more.
Hey, can I go with you, Norman? I'd really like to see a widget manufacturing site.
Oh, well, sure. Hop in my car.
Elaine, do you really want this? You'll be trapped for the rest of your life.
Of course I do, Ben. We've been talking about it for years. Wait, just think, a house in the suburbs, little children, money to buy things with, martinis, covafay, lovers, and Norman to spend the rest of my life with.
Norman's boring. Run off with me. We'll go out and see America. Walk down back roads, eat at small town cafes, smoke joints, hop trains, rob banks. There's a world of experience waiting for you, Elaine.
But Ben, I'm promised to Norman, and I can't let him down. Don't say things like that. It's wrong. But yet, I'm so strangely attracted to you. I can't resist. Kiss me, Ben. Oh, Ben!
Meanwhile, Norman and Bobby are alone in Norman's car.
Thanks for showing me the widget manufacturing site, Norman. I've never seen anything like that before. I had no idea it would be so widgety.
Well, there's a lot of work to be done. I'll have to improve the subline feeders, change the way the WYSIWYGs are brought in, and retool the toolmakers. Yeah, but this is what I was made for, Bobby.
Your enthusiasm for widgets turns me on, Norman.
Oh?
Yeah, like really turns me on. Oh, well, let's go back to my place so you can give me more details.
Now, Bobby, you know I can't reveal industry secrets.
No, but there are other secrets you can reveal.
You mean like state secrets? Those are okay.
No, silly. I mean your secrets.
Oh, those. But I promised to Elaine.
But Norman, I do so much need to be educated about widgets. Please?
Well, maybe just this once.
So you can see where this is heading, right? Yeah. Free-spirited Ben has fallen head over heels for Elaine, who wants nothing more than a house in the suburbs and 2.3 kids.
Elaine, let's leave here, on the road, run away, and have adventures. Break bad.
I've been thinking, Ben. What do you want to name our second child? The first has to be Ashley, but we need a name for the second. And a .3 one. And you need a good job if we're...
And Norman is gaga over Bobby, who now knows more about widgets than she'll ever remember, but is not ready to settle down.
Now, Bobby, we need to find a house close to the widget factory so I can save money and time on commuting.
Oh, Norman, we can do that later. I want to hitchhike across the country with you. We could be busted flat in Baton Rouge, you know, and ride with truck drivers and sing songs. Do you play the harmonica, by the way?
No, the bass fiddle.
Oh, yeah, and my mother wants to meet you before.
But gradually, the date set for the big wedding approached.
Elaine!
Elaine?
Yes, Ben?
I have a confession to make. I'm not Ben. I'm Norman. Ben and I talked things over and agreed that the last time a Ben married an Elaine in our family, it didn't work out so well. And Bobby's mother, you know, Mrs. Robinson, she was getting really weird. So we agreed to this swap.
But how do I know you're really Norman? Show me your widget.
Here? On the bus?
Yes. Right
no,
now.
No. Let's go to our house in the suburbs. I'll show it to you there.
A widget in the suburbs? Oh, Norman.
Norman.
ladies and gentlemen. Please welcome, ladies and gentlemen, Mr. Michael P. Smith.
I remember when gas was 11 cents a gallon around the time of Burns and Allen, way before Jimmy Fallon. I remember when gas was 11 cents a gallon. You had fish on Friday. You had to wear a tie to go to school. You also had to get a crew cut. As soon as it was summer, man, it certainly was a bummer, man. You couldn't look dumber. You had to get a crew cut. As soon as it was summer, if you didn't, your grandpa would say, "Where's your damn violin?" And when the stars got divorced, you couldn't go to their movies, no matter how groovy. You had to say no to their movies. When the stars got divorced, you couldn't go to their movies, no matter how fun, especially if they'd ever played a nun. That was when the Russians were gonna take us over. Parsippany to Dover, asphyxiate Rover. All the girls would have to change their names to Anna Pavlova. And if you were a guy, you were gonna have to change your name to Ivan. Joe McCarthy went on TV with his list of godless commies. Thank God your dad and mom were on his list of godless commies. You hoped he hadn't heard about your liberal Uncle Tommy. He was voted for FDR and went to a union meeting once. In case they drop the atom bomb, your practice hiding underneath your desk, never finding it grotesque, hiding underneath your desk. In case they drop the atom bomb, your practice hiding underneath your desk, and every once in a while, you'd adopt a little pagan child who for just a dime a week would get a Catholic education in that pagan foreign nation, a Catholic education, give up devil worship and give up masturbation, have fish on Friday, have to wear a tie to go to school. Hey, whatever happened to all those little pagan children? Isn't it bewildering, all those little pagan children? Whatever happened to all those little pagan kids? They never write, they never call. After you put them through DePaul. God bless them one and all. God bless them one and all. All the little pagan children, God bless them one and all. Everybody, God bless them one and all. God bless them one and all. All the little pagan children, God bless them one and all.
I went to the Tutankhamun exhibit a few years ago at the Field Museum in Chicago, and I came away understanding that it is not that much fun to be a mummy. And wrote a song about that. Oh, Mr. Tut, what good's it do? They love your chair, but nobody cares for you. Egyptian nights were never colder. All your friends are thousands of years older. Whatever happened to that gang down by the Sphinx? Seems they're only 40 winks away. Those girls from Cairo with their belly button jewels made you play the fool yesterday, yesterday, and now you keep in shape with Elmer's glue. Cause you're all wrapped up in them dead Egyptian blues. Dead Egyptian blues. That's the name of this tune. Oh, Mr. Tut, they love the mask. Do they love you, honey, sweetheart? Don't ask. Where's those baby browns and that pearly smile? A smile drove them wild by the early night. You make one terrific hieroglyphic, don't you, bro? centuries of sin and sideways turned you to a pro. Those girls from Cairo who fill your heart with lust, they've all turned to dust. Yesterday, yesterday, and those bandages didn't do that much for you. Man, you're all wrapped up in them dead Egyptian blues. Dead Egyptian blues. Did I tell you that's the name of this tune? Dead Egyptian. Oh, Mr. Tutday, dig the tomb. Yeah, all that gold leaf brightens up a room. But what's the diff when you are stiff? What riff they're playing? When your ears have spent 5,000 years decaying. What does it matter what possessions you may boast when you are just a ghost? It's only jive, Clive. Your sarcophagus is glowing, but your esophagus is showing. Who cares how rich you are, love, when you look like Boris Karloff? And they even named this dog food after you. And you're all wrapped up in those dead Egyptian blues. Dead Egyptian. Oh, Mr. Tut, you wait and see. Another few thousand years they're gonna dig up me. And I'll have all my little treasures near at hand. CD of Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band. Little dried out Maui, well, we crumbled in a bond. Letter from my honey saying, love ya, kid, so long. Some peanut butter sandwiches, long return to sand. Not much gold or silver, but I think you'll understand. In my way, I'll be just like you. All wrapped up in those dead Egyptian blues. All wrapped up in those dead Egyptian blues. Did you say all wrapped up? All wrapped up in those dead Egyptian blues.
Thank you.
The Dutchman's not the kind of man to keep his thumb jammed in the dam that holds his dreams in. But that's a secret only Margaret knows. When Amsterdam is golden in the morning, Margaret brings him breakfast. She believes him. He thinks the tulips bloom beneath the snow. He's mad as he can be, but Margaret only sees that sometimes. Sometimes she sees her unborn children in his eyes. Let us go to the banks of the ocean, where the walls rise above
the Zyder Zee. Long ago, I used to be a young man, and dear Margaret remembers that for me. The Dutchman still wears wooden shoes, his cap and coat are patched with love that Margaret sewed in. Sometimes he thinks he's still in Rotterdam. He watches tugboats down canals and calls out to them when he thinks he knows the captain. Till Margaret comes to take him home again through unforgiving streets that trip him. Though she holds his arm, sometimes he thinks he's alone. He calls her name. Let us go to the banks of the ocean, where the walls rise above the Zyder Zee. Long ago, I used to be a young man, and dear Margaret remembers that for me. Whirl the winter in, she winds his muffler tighter. They sit in the kitchen. Some tea with whiskey keeps away the dew. He sees her for a moment, calls her name. She makes the bed up her man, some old love song. She learned it when the tune was very new. He hums a line or two. They hum together in the night. The Dutchman falls asleep, and Margaret blows the candle out. Let us go to the banks of the ocean, where the walls rise above the Zyder Zee. Long ago, I used to be a young man, and dear Margaret remembers that for me.
Michael P. Smith.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
We'll bring him back up later in the show.
Thank you.
It's time now for one of WFHB's most popular features, a report from our commercial-free Department of Fake News. That's right, friends. What you are about to hear is about as true as anything that comes out of Washington, D.C., which is to say we make it all up. Sure, we have our award-winning daily local news broadcasts every day on a daily basis. And sure, we provide you with the information you need to be a responsible citizen and voter. But let's face it, this is the age of social media. Sites such as Facebook and Twitter offer news that fits individual viewpoints. And these sites are popular, like really popular. Like they don't need fund drives popular. So we figured, hey, let's get with the program. And when our old friend Fiddlin' Joe approached us with an offer to use a fake business to support fake news, thereby keeping it commercial-free, we decided that this was a win-win situation. So, without further ado, we take you now to Gordon Flash of our fake news department. And remember, Fiddlin' Joe makes it all possible.
That's right, friends. Fiddlin' Joe, maker of proven popular products, including but not limited to Gertie Stinkbait, the Fiddlin' Joe non-action figures, and the Fiddlin' Joe Institute for the Preservation of Mediocrity, is proud to be the official non-sponsor sponsor of fake news here at WFHB, and remind you that your continued support will make even more fake news available to you, the legions of gullible consumers. And now here's Gordon.
Good afternoon, folks, and welcome to the WFHB fake news broadcast for Sunday, June 4th. Words fail me when I try to thank Fiddlin' Joe Enterprises for its continued and generous support of what we're doing here and for the timeliness and benefits of all of their outstanding products and services, including Vialis for men who need to regain that certain edge to their masculinity, Purist Dawn Garden, the final resting place for those who care for their family and friends, and the Fiddlin' Joe Institute for the Preservation of Mediocrity. We take you now to our correspondent, Scant Sanity, filling in for his brother, Sean, who is on special assignment and whose report we will hear if he survives. Scant, you're looking into the rumors that Bloomington is about to withdraw from the state of Indiana. Is that right?
Aunt Sanity here with a special interview with Bloomington Mayor John Hamilton. Mr. Mayor, I understand that the city is looking into the possibility of leaving the state. Is there any truth to that rumor?
Scant, I'll swear on a stack of Fiddlin' Joe Enterprises and Corporation papers that we're treating this idea with all the seriousness it deserves.
Mr. Mayor, some say this is just a reaction to the state passing a law that blocked the annexation project the city launched. Is that true?
Well, Scant, that was just the final straw that made us change horses to save nine. As you may know, the People's Republic of Bloomington has been at tenterhooks with the state of Indiana for years. Lately, some folks have floated the idea of Blexiana Midstream to see if anyone salutes it.
Blexiana?
Bloomington exit from Indiana. We'll go our way, and those dunderheads in Indianapolis can go theirs. If that doesn't work, we'll build a big, beautiful wall around the city to keep them out.
But won't that be expensive?
No, the state of Indiana will pay for it, Scant. They think it'll keep us in.
I see. So who will the People's Republic align itself with if it's no longer in Indiana?
We're thinking California, Scant. There's a natural fit there, and remember, pot's legal in California.
Well, now that sounds good. Thank you for your time, Mr. Mayor, and remember, folks, you have Fiddlin' Joe Enterprises to thank for all of this. Now, back to you, Gordon.
Thank you, Scott, for that insightful and alternative facts-laden report. And remember, folks, without Fiddlin' Joe Enterprises, there would be no fake news. That's Fiddlin' Joe Enterprises, proud manufacturers of Ugly Away, guaranteed to improve your miserable social life. Arby's Roadkill A-Go-Go, taking the lead in slow food. If you can scrape up the money, we can scrape up the food. And the Fiddlin' Joe Institute for the Preservation of Mediocrity. Now, let's check in with Scant's vivacious younger sister, Fawn. What do you have for us today, Fawn?
Thanks, Gordon. I'm WFHB ace reporter Fawn Sanity, here today with Miss Lucinda X. Hoopengrouper, chief toll collector for the Bloomington Broadband Information Highway. Ms. Hoopengrouper, the Canadian firm that was supposed to construct the Bloomington Highway seems to have disappeared. Who does the city have in mind as his replacement?
Well, Fawn, there's been a lot of electronic discussion on that, but unfortunately, most of it was on our current system, which is so slow that most of us have been waiting weeks for replies to our emails.
Did it ever occur to you that you could have all gotten together in the same room and talk about it in person?
Fawn, this is the information age. That would be so 20th century. And anyway, we're coming to a graduate consensus on a number of things.
Could you enumerate?
On live radio? I don't think so.
I mean, what are your points of agreement?
Well, first, we think the broadband information highway needs only two lanes, but that there should be multiple toll booths. And we are unanimous in our opinion that the folks doing the work on I-69 should be the ones to take over the information highway. True that they haven't built much road, but they are building up a lot of expertise that we don't want to waste.
But aren't those the same folks who aren't paying their bills?
Fawn, the best information we're getting out of Washington, D.C. indicates that it is no longer necessary to actually pay vendors.
I see. Well, Gordon, that's about it for me today. I'd file this report by email, but you'd probably never get it.
That's all right, Fawn. We'd probably never read it. Special thanks to Fiddlin' Joe Enterprises, owner of Joe's Party Palace, the apartments where the fun never stops until they're completely trashed. Fiddlin' Joe University for the intellectually incontinent. And the Fiddlin' Joe Institution for the Preservation of Mediocrity, whose support makes it possible for us to present you with all this genuine fake news with no commercial interruption.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome the WFHB Gospel Girls.
When the rain is blowing in your face and the whole world is on your case, I could offer you a warm embrace to make you feel my love. When evening shadows and the stars appear, there is no one there to dry your tears, I could hold you for a million years to make you feel my love. I know you haven't made your mind up yet. I could never do you wrong. I've known it from the moment that we met. No doubt in my mind where you belong. I'd go hungry, I'd go black and blue. I'd go crawling down the avenue. There is nothing that I would not do to make you feel my regret. Winds of change are blowing wild and free. You ain't seen nothing like me
yet. I could make you happy, make your dreams come true. There is nothing that I wouldn't do. Go to the ends of the earth for you, to make you feel my love, to make you feel my love.
Sarah Flint. Thank you.
Too many years of my life is still trying to get up that great big hill of hope for a destination. I realized quickly and I knew that I should. Life was made up of this brotherhood of man, for whatever that means. And I cry sometimes when I'm lying in bed, just to get it all up what's in my head. And I'm feeling a little peculiar. And so I wake up in the morning and I step outside and I take a deep breath and I get real high and I scrape the top of my lungs. What's going on? And I said, hey, yeah, 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 yeah. I said, hey, what's going on? And I said, yeah, 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 yeah. I said, hey, what's going on? And I pray, yeah, oh my God, do I pray? I pray every single day for a revolution. So I cry sometimes when I'm lying in bed, just to get it all up what's in my head. And I'm feeling a little peculiar. And I step outside and I take a deep breath and I get real high and I scream from top of my lungs, what's going on? And I said, yeah, 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 yeah. I said, hey, what's going on? Get up that great big hill of hope for a destination.
Thank you. You sound great.
The
The time actually is 4:59, just like it says on the script. Man, we're good. And you're listening to the Firehouse Follies on Community Radio WFHB at 91.3 FM and 98.1 FM. Support for this show comes from Nick's English Hut, One World Enterprises, and Ivy Tech Community College.
Yeah?
Excuse me, sir. Do you have a few minutes to discuss our musical hero and idol?
I suppose that depends. Who is it?
Why, Kenny G, of course.
Kenny G?
Yes, he is very much our idol.
Please, listen.
Look, no offense, but I don't know many people who would call Kenny G their musical hero and idol. How did you come to this position?
It's a long story.
How long?
As many words as writers think they can fit in before someone starts to complain.
We did not grow up in this country.
Really? If you're illegal immigrants, I'm going to call ICE.
Oh no, you can't do that.
President loves the music of Kenny G. Our work here is sacred to him and others. Listen as we tell you our story.
When we were very, very young...
We grew up in Slovenia, a very small country you once knew as Yugoslav.
That. We were very poor.
How poor were you?
To keep us alive, our sainted father spent day and night sending email to people, telling them they have fortune waiting for them in bank in Nigeria. He taped his poor fingers to the bone.
For almost no pay, he worked his fingers to bone. And what did he get? Bony fingers.
Da. One day, when he was dumpster diving in rich section of town looking for bread crust, he come across Casa Tapa.
Oh, what's this? A tape. Oh, perhaps I can sell for extra income.
So he take home and insert it into our battered tape player.
Okay, now I will just press this button and... Oh, what's this? The most beautiful music I ever heard. I must learn more about this. Who is this? Who is this? Wait, who is around? What? Let me see. Kenny G.
Oh. Our father's life was never the same. He quit his job and spent all his time acquiring more Kenny G tapas.
This wasn't easy, as he now had no lupidatos to spend.
So he fell into a life of crime to pay for his Kenny G tapas.
Okay, pass over the Kenny G tapes and no one else is getting hurt.
When he wasn't out looking for more tapes, he would lock himself in his room and play them constantly.
But he never would let us or our mother listen.
No, you must not listen.
I need the sophistication to understand. You're not ready to hear me.
Mother was very upset because we had no money and no food.
Dear, our children must eat. You and I must eat. We must pay rent. You must put aside this obsession and earn lupitatos for your family.
No, I cannot leave my work. It is sacred undertaking. Perhaps someday I will be rewarded, but
is of no consequence. My old life is over.
So, Mother got job typing her fingers to the bone to explain to internet users how easy it was to get breast enhancement surgery.
But she didn't give any blue potatoes to father. She used them to buy food for herself and his children.
Father eventually died of starvation, surrounded by his precious tapas.
Our older sister, Melania, ran off with some rich American. We have not heard from her since. But twin sister and I are sympathetic to our father, and after he died, we secretly listened to his Kenny G tapes.
Here, put the tapa in this, then press that button.
Oh, it is the most beautiful thing I have ever heard.
Da, my brother, we must go to America, the birthplace of Kenny G, and unite with the others.
We have no money for ticket to such distant land, so we must use our father's casket as a boat.
So, we open casket, carried father to final resting place in mountains.
Yolehu!
And launch casket into ocean.
It was a long, difficult trip.
We caught fish with our bare hands for food. And we kept our hearts focused on Kenny G. After many hardships, we arrived here. But strangely, we were unable to find large groups of Kenny G supporters to unite with.
But we still knock on doors to raise money for our musical hero and idol. How much would you like to contribute?
To tell you the truth, I'd rather listen to another of my musical heroes, the Firehouse Rounders, especially when they're doing Chuck Berry.
I got the rockin' pneumonia, need a shot of rhythm and blues.
I got the room of the writer sitting down at the rhythm review.
Roll over Beethoven, fucking in 2x2.
Well, if you feel it, like it, I'll get your lover and I'll feel it, I'll rock it. I'll roll it over just to move on up and I'll trap a balloon on the real little rock it. I'll roll it over, roll it over. Tell Tchaikovsky the news. But early in the morning, don't you give me no warning, don't you step on my blue suede shoes. I'ma play my bed, I ain't got nothing. Roll over Beethoven, tell Tchaikovsky the news. Oh, well, she did like a clover, played like a pretty dog. Like a pretty little bunny with a mono lay a really rock.
Oh, she got a job, music will never stop.
Roll over Beethoven. Roll over Beethoven, roll over Beethoven, roll over Beethoven, roll over Beethoven, with these rhythm and blues.
Ross Martini Eiler, Jason Fickle, the Firehouse Rounders. It doesn't get any better than that, does it? You know, I really don't lead a very exciting life. Well, I do go bungee jumping every now and then. And I enjoy racing my tricycle. That is, my motorized tricycle. In highly competitive situations. And I'm still a pretty decent bull rider. But compared to our ace sound effects man, Mr. Tony Brewer, my life is pretty boring most of the time. Now, the other day, Tony's alarm clock went off at 5:42 a.m. He smashed it to pieces. And he got up and sent out 4 or 5 tweets to his 5 million followers. Then he went out to the barn and milked his herd of soybeans. Came back to the house. Well, I think there's a little bit more soy milk left out there. Came back to the house and had his usual big bowl of covfefe with soy milk. After that, he turned his law whistle machine on to have a nice cup of law whistle. With soy milk for that, too. Then he went over to his computer and he activated his highly technical and very sophisticated search bot. The Fine Fake Tony's bot, it's called. And listened while it went to work. You see, Tony recently discovered that there is a whole group of fake Tony Brewers out in the world.
Hi, hi.
In social media.
Hi, pleased to meet you. 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 Hi, pleased to meet you.
They're all.
Yes, we are.
They're all out there in the world of social media and on the interwomp. And these fake Tony Brewers appear to be dedicated to destroying the reputation that our Tony has worked so hard to build over the years. So the fake bot goes after him. This time it stumbled into a whole nest of fake Tonys. And our Tony, the real Tony.
Oh.
Yeah. Try to remember which one you are.
Good luck.
Yeah. Rode into battle to take on the fake Tonys. The first fake Tony that he encountered tried to roar like a lion. But it was a pretty pathetic attempt, and our meow. Tony showed him the proper meow. Way to roar like a lion. Meow. The second fake Tony tried shooting a machine gun at him. But again, that wouldn't have fooled anyone. And our Tony took out that one as well with his Tony machine gun.
Butter, 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 butter.
The final fake Tony, who I think we just met,
yeah.
thought he could take our guy out
last,
with a rocket
launcher. Last man
launcher.
Standing. What's that?
He thought he'd take our guy out with a rocket launcher.
Yeah.
But he went down to defeat as well, along with his other friends, as the real Tony showed him what a rocket launcher would sound like.
Let's see. 8, 5, 4, 3...
Now that is a rocket launcher. You know, friends, we're living in a fake age. If you happen to hear the voice of the extremely rare blue-breasted yellow finch, take heed. A fake blue-breasted yellowfinch sounds like that, but the real one sounds like this.
Hey, buddy!
The same is true.
Tree.
The same is true of Bigfoot. Here's the fake Bigfoot.
Stomp, 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 stomp.
Now here's the real one. When in doubt, go immediately to realtony.com.
That's right.
And double check those sounds to make sure they're not faked. Don't be impressed with a bunch of fake seals singing MacArthur Park. The real ones will sound like this.
Someone left the cake out in the rain.
The real Tony Brewer, ladies and gentlemen.
Thank you. The real Mike Gussie.
Now, there is one more possible fake we'd like to warn you about, and that's the fake Dan Withard. The real Dan Withard has been one of our hardworking tech crew members for a number of years now, and he recently released a CD called Stranger in Town. Since that release, there have been fake Dan Withards popping up all over the place.
Oh, it's a big one, yeah.
So we would like to clear up any possible misconceptions. Here's the real Dan Withard, along with the real Firehouse Rounders, to sing you a real song from that very real CD.
Little I do drew her first breath on a cold spring day before the market crashed in 29. She grew up in the Great Depression, and it never left her mind. Her father was a tailor, but the money ran dry. Couldn't sell a suit to a soul in town. So his daddy built him a tavern, and he drank himself into the ground. Her mom took sick with the milk plate. The five little mouse had to eat. She broke up the family for a couple of years while they tried to get her back on her feet. Little Audrey stayed home with the youngest, fed her and rocked her to sleep. A child taking care of a baby as if she were hers to keep. Making do with less in a feed sack dress. Making do with less. Family and friends are what matters, and she called the town her own. That old station wagon hauled a million kids. If she had her own dreams, she'd never let on. But maybe my opinion is slanted, but I have been so blessed, shaped, formed, and tended by the girl in the feed sack dress. Making do with less, that's what mama did the best. Making do with less in a feed sack dress.
Thank you.
It's time now for the highly popular WFHB educational adventure series, The Grammar Police. Today's episode, Ruckus on Tweet Street.
He tweets from the White House and from the Trump Tower. He sits and he tweets for hour after hour. All the little tweeters on Twitter Street know that the Donald is commander in tweet, tweet, and Donald. Tweet, 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 Donald. Tweet, tweedly tweet. Get your phone, Donald, cause we're really gonna tweet tonight. Tweet, tweet, twiddly diddly tweet.
My tweet's the best, period. All experts agree I tweet better than Andrew Jackson, and he was good. The Pope, question mark, humble but no good tweets. Lion Ted, no.
This is the city, Bloomington, Indiana. It's a college town, so you might think there would be no need for the grammar police here. You would be wrong. Every day, this idyllic burg in southern Indiana sees multiple crimes against the English language. That's why we have the grammar police. My name, Saturday. My partner, Tuesday. Your first name, Ruby. We were on a routine patrol searching for careless syntax when the captain reached us on the radio.
Sergeant Saturday, come in, please. Squawk.
Saturday here. You realize that sentence was grammatically implausible, don't you, Captain?
Sorry, Saturday. That was radio speak. I realize it was wrong. But we have an emergency.
What is the nature of this emergency, Captain?
Surveillance Unit 50 spotted two known Russian hackers and grammar rules violators and followed them to Covfefe House at 122 South Walnut. Proceed to the location and rendezvous with the officer.
Captain, the word rendezvous is a noun, not a verb.
Oh, whatever, Tuesday. Just meet them, okay?
We're on our way. Hang on, Tuesday.
This could be a tough one, Sarge.
Why do you say that, Tuesday?
That address?
Yes.
It's a known Whiffy hotspot, Sarge.
Whiffy, huh?
Mm-hmm.
We'll burn that bridge when we get to it, Tuesday. Ah, here we are. I see Officer Hoopengrouper.
I was trailing two notorious Russian hackers, Sarge, but they made me.
They didn't make you, officer. You've already been made. I think they mean that they spotted you.
Yes, that would account for the spots on your uniform.
These spots, they're from some cream-filled donuts I had earlier. Anyway, the hackers ran into the place. It's a whiffy hotspot, Sarge.
It is?
Lots of gullible people in there laughing at bad jokes.
Not surprising.
The hackers put on their helmets and disappeared into the world of social media.
Get the helmets, Tuesday.
Okay.
We're going in after them.
And Sarge?
What is it, Myron?
The guy was carrying something which looked like a bomb.
Bomb, 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 bomb.
That should be something that looked like a bomb, officer. Usage matters.
Put your helmet on, Tuesday.
Okay.
Set the location to Tweet Street.
Don't split infinitives, Sarge. How do we know they're on Tweet Street?
This episode's called Ruckus on Tweet Street.
Oh.
It's very carefully spelled. Where else would they be?
You've got a point there.
My hat covers it. You ever been to Tweet Street, Tuesday?
No, Sarge. This will be my first time.
A word of caution.
Yes?
It looks nice.
Huh?
People seem to be communicating. Mm. But without these helmets, you wouldn't understand what they're saying. To listen to the natives, put this dial on Tweet Street.
Okay.
To talk to me, switch it to English.
Oh, got it.
Under no circumstances can we remain on Tweet Street for more than 15 minutes. There's a danger of contamination.
Understood.
For heaven's sake, be careful in there.
Surely it can't be that bad, Sarge.
My name's not Shirley. It is that bad, and it's already getting to you. Set the duration to 12 minutes. Now, press on, and in we go.
Nice here, Sarge. House is good. Broadband streets wide. Folks friendly. How could anything go wrong in such a wonderful place? This seems to be...
Switch to English, Tuesday. You're making no sense.
Sorry, but this seems nice. It's a beautiful street with nice houses.
Uh-huh.
Wait a minute.
What?
These are only house fronts. There are no actual houses.
That's part of the problem on Tweet Street. There's not enough room for an entire house.
Look, someone's coming out of one of those houses.
Oh, yeah?
Yes, and he seems to be ready to speak to one of the people on the street.
All right. Let's listen in.
A beautiful morning, but the failing New York Times has weather forecast that says today will be rainy and cold, and they don't understand that.
Stupid science-denying right-wingers can't tell difference between weather forecast and science, so all think that science is not good if...
Weather equals sign, weather no science in change, period. Commander in Tweed PLS, tell us what to be backspace, believe, so we tell others what equals sign wrong and what equals sign right in world as...
Look, the commander in Tweet himself just came out of that large house marked as 1600 Tweet Street.
Oh, yeah?
Who's the guy with him?
That's his current chief lackey, Jared. Mm. Jared holds the phone for him when he tweets.
Only I can make changes to weather. Muchly needed. Very, very muchly. Kenyon put taps on wires so Kinfo can't get out in the best way. Sick bed.
Sarge, look.
Uh-huh.
Coming out of the shadows.
There?
A man and a woman.
I see.
Are those our Russian hackers?
I believe you're right, Tuesday.
Mm.
And they're tweeting.
Ooh.
Is Moose. Moose, an interfering friend. Now we Twitter bomb. Get rid of Moose once and for all. And our job will be done and we return to...
Really, Moose, boss, question mark. Moose did not have orange hair last time saw him, period. But Udder does look like squirrel, period. Sure to be Moose, question mark. We have only one.
It's Moose, all right. Goofy, not know what do. Rely on squirrel for everything. Good disguise, but can't fool me. No Moose when see one despise.
German cars, too many. Very bad. Bad, period. NATO members not paying full amount required by us. Also bad. Must quit NATO and EU who don't like.
Plus court sys stands in way progress. Must be eliminated, period. Smash to pieces before destroyed by do-gooder judges who live on small islands.
Sarge, how can the level of discourse be so low?
Flip your visual selector to the X-ray setting.
Okay, now what?
Now, look at that guy's head.
Holy smoly, Sarge. It's crammed full of random numbers and letters.
Those are his passwords. Do you see a tiny space behind them? You see it?
I do. What is it?
That's the only spot where discourse can be formulated. There's room there for only 140 characters. That's your brain on Twitter, Tuesday.
That's grim. Mm-hmm. I wonder what's in the commander's brain.
Oh, don't look, Tuesday. You'll... Oh.
I'm going to be sick.
I told you not to look. You okay?
I can't believe those images.
I know.
But look, Sarge, the little guy with the bombs moving forward towards the commander.
Light fuse, Natasha. Time now throw Twitter bomb at Moose. Never again will be problem after explosion. Close all parts of brain not exposed.
Fuse lit, period. Hurry, boss. Not much time after fuse, period. Important we escape and flee so can go home and live lives of luxury after avoiding...
Boss, bomblet thrown towards commander must stop. Period. Could have grave consequences. Commander hit by Twitter bomb. Must do something and now...
It's too late, Tuesday. He's totally affected by Twitteritis. Save yourself.
No!
Oh. She threw herself on the bomb. She sacrificed herself for the world.
Go, Sarge. Fight Twitter mind. Leave me here. Tweet Street looking good to me now. Don't want to leave. Happy here forever and will be near to...
Saturday, I've been monitoring. What happened to Tuesday?
She absorbed the full impact of a Twitter bomb, Captain. There's no longer room in her brain for anything other than Twitter. She's yesterday's news now.
Oh, the humanity. Get out of there now, Saturday.
She was a good grammar cop. Goodbye, Ruby Tuesday. Who could hang a hashtag on you? Central tweet on every new day. Still, I'm gonna miss you.
Twitter tragedies abound, period. Facebook fright runs rampant, period. But as long as we have the grammar police, there will be some small measure of sanity.
A woman that looks so fine. I asked her her name. She proceeded to ask me mine. Then she pulled out an iPhone. I ordered a tonic and gin. She looked down at that phone and started typing something in. She Googled me. I'm not kidding, man. She Googled me. I thought I was lucky at last, but then she dug up my shady past when she Googled me. She pulled up the website, homepage of the Indiana DMV. She found out I had 3 DUIs and a reckless in 2003. Now I saw her fingers sliding up to that little hot spot. She told me my license had been expired, and it was not even not. She Googled me. I tell you, man, she Googled me. I thought I was lucky at last, but then she raised up my shady past when she Googled me. My secrets are out on that little LCD screen. I said it, honey, it don't look good, but it's not as bad as it seems. I'm just looking for someone to hold me for what's left of my life. And she pulled up the Monroe County website and found out I had a wife. She Googled me, people. She Googled me. I thought I got lucky at last. Then she brought up my past. She Googled me. Friends, I got shot down, and I know the reason why. It's hard to tell the truth, impossible to tell a lie. My advice for all you losers with your distant lives: don't pick up somebody in a place with free Wi-Fi, 'cause they'll Google you.
She'll Google you.
I said they'll Google you.
She'll Google you.
I said they'll Google you.
She'll Google you.
I mean, it's true.
She'll Google you.
It's not nice.
She'll Google you.
It ain't right.
She'll Google you.
I thought I was lucky at last.
She'll Google you.
Then she found my shady past when she Googled me.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome back the Gospel Girls.
This is one Ginger wrote.
Freedom, liberty, reminding my into my fold. Come to me,
come to me,
all who are weary,
all who are weary.
Come to me,
come
and I'll
to
hold
me
you tonight. Come to me,
come to me,
all who are tired,
all who are tired.
Come to me.
Ginger wrote that one.
All right. And now for one we wish we had written.
Mike said this was a show called The Graduate. So we thought about songs that might be appropriate. Maybe.
And we thought about things that we always wanted to get when we graduated from something.
Ready?
The best things in life are free. But you can give them to the birds and bees. I want money.
That's what I want.
That's what I want.
That's what I want.
That's what I want. Your love give me such a thrill, but your love won't pay my bills. I need money.
That's what I want.
That's what I want.
That's what I want.
That's what I want.
Oh, yeah. That's what I want.
Money don't buy everything, it's true. What it don't buy, I don't use. I need money.
That's what I want.
That's what I want.
That's what I want.
That's what I
want. Oh, yeah. That's what I want.
Tell them to the birds and bees. I want money.
That's what I want.
That's what I want.
That's what I want.
That's what I
want. Oh, oh yeah. That's what I want.
I want me money.
That's what I want.
Come on, baby.
That's what I want.
I need money, honey.
What I want.
What I want.
you. Thank you so much.
You're listening to WFHB.
And indeed you are. And in just a moment here, we are welcoming back to the stage Mr. Michael P. Smith, who's going to take us home today.
Thank you. Putting aside stand. Thank you. Moving microphone. I can't stop talking like that. I see your old girlfriend Melanie made the Newark Star Ledger the other day. I see your old college steady Melanie made the front page of the Newark Star Ledger the other day. Shot her husband William McGuire, chopped him up, dropped him into Chesapeake Bay. See her driving down to Chesapeake, dropping Bill off near and far. See her driving down past Accokeek, dropping Bill off near and far. Kind of like Lizzie Borden, if Lizzie Borden had a car. Hey, Melanie McGuire, what you doing there with your three suitcases full of Bill? Hey, Melanie McGuire, what you doing there with your three suitcases full of Bill? Got him demonstrating Samsonite, quite against his will. Aren't you glad that you didn't marry Melanie? Only to dwell in three valises by the sea. Aren't you glad that you didn't marry Melanie, only to sing Help three-part harmony? Hey, come on, every time she came near, didn't somebody whisper timber in your ear? You drive down to Accokeek, you better stay in the passing lane. Drive down to Accokeek to see your friend Grace, you better race there in the passing lane. They say that Bill McGuire's hitchhiking tonight in the pouring rain. He wants to get himself together. Get himself together, get himself together again. Get himself together, get himself together, get himself together again. Get himself together, get himself together, get himself together again. In the pouring rain.
you, thank you, thank you. A
couple of songs about murder. This is a... my wife was born in Florida, outside of Tampa, a little town called Bartow, and when she was a child, she told me that what they used to do for entertainment after school was the kids would go to the hardware store and try out new saddles, or they would go to the movies and see the same movie every day for a week, or they would go to court. These were days when they would let kids into the court. And they used to go to this murder trial, and there was a young man who was a witness at the murder trial who became very famous throughout the town because when he testified, it was kind of like he was a star. And all the girls in the sixth grade were really enamored of him, and she told me his name was Dan Moody. And she remembered from when she was a child, she remembered his name, Dan Moody. And I thought, Dan Moody, that's a great kind of romantic name. And I thought, I'm going to write a song that has the trial in it and that has Dan Moody in it. And the interesting thing about this song for me was when I started writing it, I had no idea how it was going to turn out. Used to be a roving cowboy. He used to be a rodeo cowhand. He tried to rob the Kansas Railway along with two other friends of mine. I said, for God's sake, do not do this. They put it off for quite some time, until the 12th of January. Such a cold and a bitter time. Snow was drifting on the line. Mind confused is sometimes altered, so said a doctor friend of my acquaintance. Don't tell a madman with a shotgun that he's not allowed to shoot no one. I foolishly kept my own counsel, too easily tired of the fight. They done the deed and they was successful, and come back the selfsame night, looking the same around the eye. Having recently found Jesus, I tried to speak to them as friends should do of the eternal consequences and the awfulness of lives of sin. They soon fell in with sweet companions who helped them spend their evil wage until the thought of precious Jesus drove me to a holy rage, and I knew they must be saved. Then who comes riding through the blizzard. Who comes riding through the wild, deep snow. Some sheriff's deputy seeking shelter and information about them three rodeo chums. I did not know that they'd be sleeping, that they'd come out with guns of fire, and that all three was to be murdered. This was never my desire. This I swear I did not know. When I told the posse where to go, he used to be a roving cowboy. He used to be a rodeo cowhand. He tried to rob the Kansas Railway along with two other friends of mine. I said, for God's sake, do not do this. They put it off for quite some time, until the 12th of January. Such a cold and a bitter time. Snow was drifting on the line.
Tech Community College, One World Enterprises, and Nick's English Hut, a Bloomington tradition for 90 years. Opening a second location on IU's campus this August, and coming soon, Nick's Osteria for casual Italian fare. Thanks also to Jaylin Designs and Fine Print, and to Dats, B-Town, Viros, and Avers for keeping us fed. Special thanks to songwriter Michael Peter Smith for driving down from Chicago to join us. And thanks to the WFHB Gospel Girls, Suzette Wheatley, Ginger Curry, and Sarah Flint. The Firehouse Rounders were Jason Fickle on guitar, Ross Martini Eiler on piano, David Withard on saxophone, John Valdez on drums, and Ron Kadish on bass. Our own Dano Withard sang his song, Feet Sack Dress. The unusual suspects were Richard Fish, Betty Greenwell, Mike Leonard, Becky Stepp, and John Weikart. Tony Brewer provided sound effects. House sound was by Jim Lang, and radio sound by Jeffrey Sundog Morris. Our technical crew was Marion Connedy, Dan Withard, Ilza Ackerbirds, Amy Ayabusi, Amy, and Cheryl Mitchell, and studio engineer Cindy Bollet. Today's show was written by Mr. Stuffitupagus and the residents of the Occupy Sesame Street home for Over the Hill writers. Stage manager was Dan G-Man Salvaggi, and our director was Richard Fish. The show was produced by Mike Kelsey. Our theme song is Firehouse Blues, written by Jason Fickle. For WFHB, I'm Dan Salvaggi, reminding you to save the date of August 27th for the next Firehouse Volley!